Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
If I were standing at the beginning of time with the possibility of taking a panoramic view of the whole of human history, and the Almighty said to me, "Martin Luther King, which age would you like to live in?" I'd take my mental flight by Egypt, ancient Greece, the heyday of the Roman Empire, the Renaissance, the Reformation, and the presidencies of Abraham Lincoln and FDR. Then, strangely enough, I would turn to the Almighty and say, "If you allow me to live just a few years in the second half of the 20th century, I will be happy." Now, that's a strange statement to make, because the world is all messed up. The nation is sick. Trouble is in the land, confusion all around. But I know, somehow, that only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. And I see God working in this period in a way that people, in some strange way, are responding. Something is happening across our world. The masses of people are rising up. We have been forced to a point where we are going to have to grapple with the problems that people have been trying to grapple with through history. Survival demands that we grapple with them. For years now, people have been talking about war and peace. But now, no longer can they just talk about it. It's no longer a choice between violence and nonviolence in this world. It's nonviolence or non-existence. Let us rise up with a greater readiness. Let us stand with a greater determination. And let us move on in these powerful days, these days of challenge, to make America what it ought to be. We have an opportunity to make America a better nation. And when people get caught up with that which is right, and they are willing to sacrifice for it, there is no stopping point short of victory. The day he was assassinated, Dr. King called his mother with the title for the sermon he planned to preach that Sunday: Why America May Go to Hell. That feels especially prophetic right now, doesn't it? Tomorrow, on the federal holiday set aside to honor the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we will host the inauguration, swearing in a convicted felon as the 47th president of the United States of America. Over 77 million of our neighbors, 49.9% of the electorate, voted for a platform of empire and dominance, explicitly promising xenophobia, misogyny, racism, and transphobia. Given the state of our world, I'm especially grateful I get to spend Wednesday afternoons with you at Tea with the Ministers. Last week, we reflected on the new year and the new regime. The wisdom of our people provided tremendous comfort to my flagging spirit. Bob Sessions described the rising anxiety levels around him and how many of his friends are in so much pain, worrying about things that haven't yet happened. Then he said this brilliant thing: When I dwell on the state of our country and inevitably get upset, I'm only hurting myself. Nothing is changed by my ruminations. Recognizing this, Bob has decided to resist doom scrolling and minimize his news consumption. Instead, he'll be focusing on the things and the people that he loves. His new spiritual practice draws on a long tradition from our friends at Alcoholics Anonymous, the Serenity Prayer. The rumblings of political perseveration are now met with this mantra: grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. At that same tea, Frank Lee shared that he's been incredibly sad since the election, grieving what felt like the death of the environmental movement. But recently, Frank had an epiphany. The fight for climate justice hasn't failed. We just need to do it differently. We have to figure out how to speak to the issues in a way that people can hear. There's really so much hope in this reframing, and I really believe it's true, and true for all kinds of issues. Since November, I have wrestled with my own dark passages of despair. As I've imagined, impotently fighting for and losing so much of what I hold dear: the health of the planet, racial justice, reproductive rights, LGBTQ rights, autonomy for the Ukrainian people, care for the most vulnerable, free speech, science, truth, basic human civility. It's a long list. And I've worried about who we will become, who I will become, as we accept the transition to a fully polarized society. I can't bear the thought of dividing humanity with bright red and blue lines and then hating everyone on the wrong side. As we enter this final countdown to Inauguration Day and a new era in American life, this feels like the moment to explore a radical approach to resistance. Can we shift the paradigm? How might we do it differently to actually reach the people in that other half of our country? Dr. King would tell us that the answer is love. In crafting that last sermon title, he left a crack for the light of hope to shine in with the word may. He didn't say why America will go to hell. Dr. King recognized the country's utter depravity, but knew we still had the option to choose redemption. He tells us, I know that love is ultimately the only answer to mankind's problems. And that in the last speech of his life, Dr. King urged us to develop a dangerous unselfishness. He was preaching on the biblical story of the Good Samaritan, in which a man on the treacherous road to Jericho went way out of his way to assist a gravely injured stranger. The story is noteworthy because the Good Samaritan is moved to help, despite the fact that the wounded man is of a different race, a different religion, and dare we guess, a different political party. To stop at all on the Jericho Road was dangerous, but the Good Samaritan had too much compassion to leave the man for dead, as the priest and the Levite had done before him. The Good Samaritan tended the wounds, placed the man on his donkey, delivered him to an inn, and left money to ensure his ongoing care. To help those in need is almost always inconvenient. But here at Arlington Street, We are remarkably good at that. I've been moved time and again, witnessing the extraordinary kindness of the people of this congregation. Our challenge in this new era is going to be expanding our understanding of who is our neighbor, to extend ourselves to people who are beyond our tribe is uncomfortable, painful, and risky. If I'm struggling to let someone merge in traffic because their bumper sticker proclaims, "Make America Great Again," am I gonna pull over on a dark road in a dangerous neighborhood to tend to their wounds? It feels unthinkable, but it might just be the only way to keep America from going to hell. To be dangerously unselfish is subversive. It confounds the power structure which depends on keeping us divided and polarized. When we choose to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us, and to do good to those who hate us, we can shift that paradigm. Dr. King said, "We will match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We will meet your physical force with soul force. Do to us what you will, and we will still love you. Bomb our homes and threaten our children, and we will still love you. Send your propaganda agents around the country and make it appear that we are not morally and culturally fit for integration, and we will still love you. Send your hooded perpetrators of violence into our communities at the midnight hours and drag us out on some wayside road and beat us and leave us half dead, and we will still love you. But be assured that we will wear you down by our capacity to suffer. And one day, we will win our freedom. But not only will we win freedom for ourselves, we will so appeal to your heart and your conscience that we will win you in the process. And our victory will be a double victory. This seems to me the only answer and the only way to make our nation a new nation and our world a new world. Love is the absolute power." Since retiring in June, our Minister Emerita Kim and her wife Kem have been traveling the world and having a blast. As they embarked on their latest trip, I thought it would be a great idea for their dog Kai to skip the kennel and instead come stay with us. My partner Josh's house in Lynn is a canine paradise. There's a fenced yard, a dog door, and a pack of three friendly pups ready to welcome a new friend. Kai was there for less than 24 hours when Josh caught him slipping out of a gate left unlatched by a delivery person. Josh called his name. Kai turned to look him right in the eye and then bolted. Leaving his car running in the middle of the street, Josh took off after him on foot, but that little dog is fast. When Kai turned onto the main road, a couple in a truck pulled over, waved Josh in, and did their best to tail Kai. Not only did these strangers jump in to help in that critical moment, they then took to social media to spread the news about our runaway. Those late December days were bitter cold, and it rained a lot. We were despondent and so afraid for Kai. But we were also uplifted and upheld by the most extraordinary outpouring of kindness. Two amazing volunteers, angels really, Suzanne and Laurel from Missing Dogs, Massachusetts, took on our case. And by this, I mean they devoted themselves completely to finding Kai. When they weren't out in the elements searching or hanging flyers, they were scouring the internet for mentions of potential sightings. They kept up a constant stream of text messages that were a mix of updates, practical guidance, and messages of hope and support. For a little guy with a lifelong limp, Kai covered a lot of territory. He traveled at least 30 miles, and the good people of Lynn, Swampscott, Danvers, and Beverly kept tabs on him, reporting multiple sightings every day. When Kai showed up in his yard, Coach Tommy Kapnis already knew who he was. One of his colleagues had put out an alert to all of the teachers of Beverly. If you met Coach Tommy, you might assume that he hails from a different tribe than our Kim and Kem. Tommy comes across as a tough guy in a big truck with deep roots on the North Shore. But once he got involved, Coach Tommy was not going to give up on finding that dog. He rallied his entire neighborhood to come out in the rain and join him in the search. His tenacity was matched only by his tenderness. He started dreaming about Kai. Weeks later, Coach Tommy is still calling Kem to check in. The best sighting came on day 8, when a dog walker named Kristen saw a black dog on a soccer field at dusk. Just then, Josh and I happened to be posting flyers right around the corner. When I first walked onto that giant field, it looked empty, and my heart sank. I started to walk away, but something told me to take a look at the dark shape of a trash bag that had blown against the fence. So I peered closer. I realized that trash bag was looking back at me. I sat down on the ground and stretched out my legs. And just like that, our recalcitrant Kai came bounding out, delighted to see me. Kai was skinny and his fur was a mess of burrs, but otherwise seemed no worse for wear for his big 8-day adventure. While I certainly got the sweetest role in this story, I am by no means the hero. Each of you who spread the word about Kai, said metta, offered prayers, and reached out to Kim and Kem, you are the heroes. All of those strangers who rallied around this little dog, reposted his story, reported sightings, and searched in the bitter cold. They are the heroes of this story. Kai would never have made it home without the outpouring of community care and kindness. I'm going to close with one last story from Dr. King. Some time ago, my brother and I were driving from Atlanta to Chattanooga. It was late at night, and for some reason, most of the drivers were discourteous that night. Everybody was forgetting to dim their lights as they approached our car. And my brother got angry, and he said, "The next car that comes along this highway and fails to dim its lights, I'm gonna refuse to dim mine. I'm gonna keep these lights on in all of their glaring outpour." And I looked up and said, "Wait a minute, don't you do that. For if you refuse to dim your lights, there'll be too much light on the highway and may end up in destruction for all of us. Somebody will have to have the sense to dim their lights." And maybe here we find an analogy to the whole struggle of life. Somebody must have sense enough to dim their lights. Hate begets hate. Force begets force, violence begets violence, toughness begets toughness. And it's all a descending spiral, ending in destruction for everybody. Somebody must have sense enough to dim the lights. And that's the trouble, isn't it? that as all the civilizations of the world move up the highway of history, so many civilizations, having looked at other civilizations that refused to dim the lights, decided to refuse to dim theirs. And historians tell us that of the 22 civilizations that have risen up, all but about 7 have found themselves in the junk heap of destruction. It's because civilizations fail to have sense enough to dim the lights. And if somebody doesn't have sense enough to turn on the dim and beautiful and powerful lights of love in this world, the whole of our civilization will be plunged into the abyss. And we will all end up destroyed because nobody had any sense on the highway of history. We must see that force begets force, and hate begets hate. And it's all a descending spiral, ultimately ending up in destruction for everybody. Somebody must have sense enough and morality enough to cut off the chain of hate and the chain of evil in the universe. And you do that by love. My friends, I'm so grateful for these lessons to carry into the difficult days ahead. When I falter, please help me remember Bob's lesson. When I get upset about things I cannot change, I'm only hurting myself. Please help me remember Frank's lesson. We just need to do it differently. We can figure out how to speak to the issues in a way that people can hear. Please help me remember that the world is full of good neighbors. If we let them, people will go to extraordinary lengths to help us in our time of need. At any moment, we can choose to be someone's angel, like Laurel or Suzanne or Coach Tommy, and make a life-changing difference. When I falter, please help me remember to dim the lights. Remember that somewhere, somebody must have some sense. King's unwritten sermon was, "Why this country may go to hell." That may is still hanging in the balance, but with a dangerous unselfishness, we cast our lot not with hell, but with heaven. Let's give the last word to Dr. King. "This faith," he said, "can give us courage to face the uncertainties of the future. It will give our tired feet new strength as we continue our forward stride toward the city of freedom. When our days become dreary with low hovering clouds and our nights become darker than 1,000 midnights, we will know that we are living in the creative turmoil of a genuine civilization struggling to be born." Amen. This morning's benediction comes from Dr. King's acceptance speech on being awarded the 1964 Nobel Peace Prize. "I have an abiding faith in America and an audacious faith in the future of mankind. I refuse to accept despair as the final response to the ambiguities of history. I refuse to accept the cynical notion that nation after nation must spiral down a militaristic stairway into the hell of thermonuclear destruction. I believe that unarmed truth and unconventional love will have the final word in reality. This faith can give us courage to face the uncertainties of the future. It will give our tired feet new strength as we continue our forward stride toward the city of freedom. When our days become dreary with low hovering clouds and our nights become darker than 1,000 midnights, we will know that we are living in the creative turmoil of a genuine civilization struggling to be born. Let us keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. Bless your hearts. I love you. Amen.
Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.